without further ado, I'll pass it over, and please feel free to add to the introductions based on background and expertise. Thank you.
Thank you, Jolene. Thank you so much. First of all, I just want everyone to actually just stay awake, because this is a very important topic. There's a lot of topics that you heard packed for the rest of the day. So I want to make sure that each one of you that actually ask that the burning desire questions that you have, because you know there's a lot of things going on when it comes to taxation in investing, and that's why we are here today. But that being said, I just want to say good morning, welcome in my language, selamat datang, and chau san. So I would say that, you know, a little background. My name is Murad Wahab, and I am the director of ASF Asia. It's an initiative of Global SF, and we are a dedicated partner with the City and County of San Francisco Office of Economic and Development, a workforce. So, and my background is that I spent almost 14 years in banking. I work for JP Morgan Chase, City National, and Wells Fargo. So helping businesses like you, from moms and pop to small business and up to larger corporation. Most of my clients recently was about $20 million to $1 billion company. I've seen in my career in banking a fair share of challenges and also an opportunities for companies that, especially international companies that comes here, that what are the things that the issue that they're facing? And it is very important, because sometimes you thought that your friends tells you or your connections tells you that, yes, let's do this. This is structured, this company this way. And I just want also to bring you back to the other side chat with other speakers earlier. You heard about them talking about real estate. They're talking about that incentive, right? There's a lot of moving parts when it comes to taxes, because taxes in investing involved is basically is completely different animal. It's nothing that, you know, so the same, I would say. So that being said, what I wanted to say is that we are so lucky to have this fire chat today with Kathy Wong. Kathy is actually, she is a tax advisor and a CPA, a certified public accountant with BPM. With BPM is one of the largest 50 accounting and tax advisory firm in the US. Kathy has spent over 15 years in this industry, and she has been consulted, advised many foreign companies wanted to establish here, and I would say also have a fair share of stories that later on that you can share with the crowd here, because it's a very important. Well, another thing is that she has, when she worked with the companies, not only the companies, but also the executive and founders of these foreign companies, how to structure, plan, and make sure your company's in compliance. So that is really important. And with her experience working with the inbound companies, she understands, as I said earlier, the challenges, opportunities that you guys face at various stages of your business operations. And she is here to help us to navigate and make sure that you understand what does it take. So I would say to start with this, and thank you again, and welcome to San Francisco City. I want to start with Kathy, which is, this is, I would say, one of the biggest topics that you're going to hear over and over. So, Kathy, back in 2017, there was a big tax reform in the U.S. In fact, it's the largest one, the biggest changes in the U.S. Tax system since 1986. So with your experience, share that with us, share us with the delegates, that what do you see as, what is the impact to the foreign companies or the multinational companies in the tax sector that when they are investing in the U.S.? Let's start with that first.
Sure. Thank you, Murad. So first of all, thank you, everybody. It's my pleasure to be here today And I just wanted to welcome everybody to San Francisco. I know you had a good time. I hope you had a good time in DC. But San Francisco is an amazing city, and welcome. So a little bit of my background. I work with inbound companies, as Murat mentioned, and I really enjoy working with them. They are all very excited about expanding their business in the US, and it's been a great pleasure, and it's really enjoyable working with them to support them on the tax and accounting side and watching them grow their business in the US. And so as Murat mentioned, back in 2017, there is a big tax reform in the U.S., and it's the biggest tax law changes in the U.S. since the 1986. And with that changes, I think, to the tech companies, a biggest change that impact the tech is a permanent reduction in tax rate from the top rate of 35% to 21%. So before the tax reform, US is one of the highest tax country in the world. But now, and so that's why a lot of the tech companies were moving their IPs outside of the US to a lower tax jurisdiction, such as Ireland. But now with the 21% tax rate, US now became a more competitive location to operate and own IP. And also under the tax reform, there are some new tax incentive for companies that are exporting from the US. That includes both goods and services, as well as IP. So if there's a licensing of IP to a non-US customer, or selling of goods or services to non-US customers, there is a good incentive of taxing those income at only 13.125%. So it's a huge tax benefit, very preferential tax way. And so with this, and also a lot of the tech companies, if they are looking for funding from US investors or venture capital funds, a lot of the time these US investors would like to have the IP owned in the US. So with the tax reform, I can see there are changes in the international landscape in the US, and it becomes a more competitive location in attracting foreign investments. So the reduction in tax rate, extra incentive for exported income, as well as the VC funding opportunities, I can see a lot of these multinational companies are changing the way they are structuring their US operations.
That's a start, right? It's a very interesting takes on the tax reform. We can talk the whole day, just not even can finish about the tax reform that happened. But I do hope that you pay attention in terms of how much that has changed since then. So that being said, thank you, Kathy, for explaining that what's happening in that 2017. So the next question is, this is something that as a banker, proven my previous life. So basically that, you know, countless times when I talk to businesses, you know, they were saying that, well, I already incorporate my companies here in the US. I said, that's great. Who do you talk to? Who is your CPA? Is your CPA is a small firm, a big firm? What it is? So do you think that when you incorporate your company is the right one? Because there is a lot more than that. As a banker previously, I would say that what had happened is that when your companies grow in later on, what you don't realize is that your structure doesn't make sense. So what we're here to help you to make sure from the get-go that you set up the company correctly to refrain or to avoid from unnecessary mistakes that you're gonna face. So that given me, the next thing is that we're gonna talk about all different type of company structure. And there are a few that I would say that maybe they have advantage and disadvantages to structure the company this way. So that being said, I want to ask Kathy, so when the foreign companies are expanding to the US, so what are the common structure that they would consider, and why is it important to set up the right structure, as I mentioned.
Sure. So the most common types of entity structure when foreign companies are coming to the U.S. to operate a U.S. business are our branch, C corporations, limited liability companies, LLC, and partnerships. The most easiest and simple way to start doing business in the U.S. is probably in the form of a branch. You don't have to actually incorporate a separate entity. There's no separate legal entity. You just start your business here. But this may also create a taxable nexus presence for the foreign companies in the U.S., which would make the foreign company responsible for filing U.S. tax returns and paying taxes in the U.S. I guess the most common type of structure that inbound companies are using when they are coming to the U.S. is in the form of a C corporation. So the advantage of a C corporation is that it acts as a broker. Basically, it's separating the U.S. business and activities from all your foreign operations. It also limits the liabilities and economic risk of the U.S. operation to the U.S. company only. However, the downside of this of a C corp structure is that there's double taxation. The C corporation will be paying tax at the 21% I just mentioned on the profit of the company, and when the profit is repatriated back to the foreign owners, or either the foreign parent company or the individual founders and owners of the company, there is an additional layer of tax on withholding tax on the dividend. So the profit is basically taxed twice. So that's the downside of a C corporation. LLC and partnership, they are called like pass-through entities, meaning they are not a tax-paying entity. The owners are responsible for paying taxes. And so the good thing is there's only one layer of tax. It's only taxed once. But then the downside of it is the disadvantage is that all the owners of the LLC or partnership, they will have to, they may have to file U.S. tax returns. So foreign companies who are the owners, or individuals, founders who are owners of the partnership, they will need to file a U.S. tax return. So there are more administrative burden and compliance requirement in this type of structure. So there's no one type of structure that fits everybody. Everybody's situation is different. So it's it depends on your goals, what your business plan is, and also your profit repatriation plan is, to see which will be a structure that makes the most sense. So it is very important to find out the tax implication of the different types of structure before you are setting up an entity in the U.S.
Thank you, Kathy. I hope that, you know, at least give you guys a high level of overview in terms of the different structures when you're thinking about establishing your companies here in the U.S. So, you know, apart from actually establishing the right structure, we're going to move on into, like, you know, giving you example later on. But I want to have, like, you know, asking the audience here that how many of you already established a company in the U.S.? Or, and also thinking about it. Can you raise your hand, please? Wow, that's good, you know? So I think it's like, you know, my advice as a consultant as well, that you need to actually get it right. You're doing get it right from the start, because you never want to be in the situations going through all these, you know, liabilities and then mistakes that will cost you not only time, but money. So just keep that in mind. That being said, Kathy, can you just share with us a client example, you know, why selecting a proper entity type and structure that fits the investor's needs is so important?
Sure. So I have many of these examples. But so recently I worked with a founder of an Australian company. He's also an Australian. He has a very successful company in Australia who's doing digital marketing for a global network of dentists. And he expanded his business to the US a few years ago and set it up as a US LLC. And they haven't filed any tax returns, they didn't do any taxes since then. And the owner, the sole owner, is the founder. So he owned 100% of the US LLC. What he didn't realize was that a single member LLC structure in the US means the entity is disregarded for tax purposes, meaning it doesn't exist. So what does that mean? It means he, as the founder and 100% owner of the company, is responsible for filing a tax return and paying taxes and reporting the company's income in the US. These and everything is delinquent now, and he's owing taxes, penalties, and he's already delinquent in a few years. These all came as a surprise to him. He did not expect that setting up a company in the US would have such tax implication to him personally. So of course he doesn't want to have the delinquent filing with the US government, paying penalties to the US government. So with his objective in mind, we offer him a solution. We propose to him to make a tax election to change the tax classification of the US LLC to become a C corporation for only US tax purposes. So it does not change anything legally relating to the entity type. It's still a US LLC, but for tax purposes, it can be taxed as a C corporation. And so we help them through the process of getting some late election relief, and eventually we successfully helped them make that election from the very beginning of when the company was set up. And so now we solve his problem of being personally liable for filing tax returns and also paying taxes and penalty personally in the US. And now the company is responsible for filing the tax return, delinquent returns, paying the taxes, and going forward. So this is an example, it's a good result that at the end, we're able to help them relieve the anxiety about being delinquent personally and filing tax returns in the US. But like I wanted to remind everybody, sometimes it's very difficult and really costly to make the change once things are set up. So an important advice is to make it right in the beginning, and it will be a lot easier going forward.
Thank you, Kathy. So basically, in the interest of time, because we don't have much time to dive into deeper about a lot of other stuff, but I just want to give you a high level in terms of it's your responsibility to file taxes, and then there is requirements when you will set up a company here. And also there is please approach Kathy later on asking about transfer pricing, because that's a different animal that you want to talk about, right? And then if it briefly, before we take questions, briefly only talk about what is the tax credit incentive for this company, just briefly.
Mm-hmm. Sure, so I think the most important tax incentive for tech company is the R&D credit, the research and development credit. Mm-hmm. It is a tax credit that can offset the company's, the US income tax liability dollar for dollar. And the benefit is about 8% of tax savings for each dollar you spend on R&D. And also, companies who are operating at a loss can also benefit from this credit because they can utilize this credit to offset their payroll tax liability. So, and also California also offers a similar R&D credit incentive for companies located in California and performing the R&D activity in California. So if your company is located in California, you can take advantage of the R&D credit both at the federal level and also on the at California level. Some local jurisdiction like San Francisco also provides tax incentive for certain companies like in the clean tech industry and also companies located in certain geographic areas. So there are many different types of tax incentives that could be applicable to your business at both the state and federal and local level. You just need to have someone who can advise you what are available to you and take the most benefit out of it.
Thank you, Kathy. So before I just take any questions, how many minutes? Okay. So I'm going to open up. I know this is very short, high levels, very brief. As I said, taxation is actually a different animal. So I would like actually to open up to the audience. You know, it's just hot, so hard to see here from here. I'm a short person and I'm sitting right now. I can't see anybody. So I want to actually make sure that I'm being fair. So the gentleman, yeah. What's your question, sir? Yeah.
This is a question. I believe that it also would be a question a lot of people here have in mind. Is there any way we can structure our company that we don't have to pay tax at all?
Thank you, sir. I greatly appreciate that. But let me tell you, there's two things in life that matters and guarantee: death and taxes. That's it. There's no way around it, okay?
Nice try. But unfortunately, there's no way to escape any taxes. But there are ways to minimize taxes. So if with proper planning, there's ways to minimize your tax liability, which is helpful too.
otherwise, it's a three-letter entity named IRS.
That's right. You got it. Sir, what's your name, sir?
DJ.
DJ, yep. Okay, good, because I can pronounce your name, yeah. So Dong Jung, yes. But called DJ. All right, so what's your question?
Could you explain a little bit more details about the withholding tax, which is this advantage of C Corporation?
Sure, so the withholding tax is at the time when the C Corporation pays dividend back to the foreign owners. Either the foreign parent company or any individual shareholders. At that time, there's a withholding tax of 30% on the dividend income, like whatever dividend is paying out to the foreign owner, there's a 30% withholding tax. But if there's a tax treaty between the US and the country of the foreign person or foreign corporation, and there will be a reduced tax rate on the 30%. So it can be ranging from 0 to 30. So that's the reason why there's a withholding tax on it is because US government would want to make sure that those dividend income because of earning profit in the US are properly taxed. And if those are all foreign owners, it's hard to monitor or make sure these taxpayers are paying taxes and file tax returns. So they do the withholding tax first before the dividend goes out to the foreign owners.
Oh, can we take one question? Okay. All right, Peter?
Yeah, I'm Peter Freeman, and this is for Kathy. You know, I certainly agree that the new tax law has made the U.S. a much more attractive place to do business. So, a tax haven. Now, early on in your talk, you spoke about a tax program that provides a 13% tax rate. I presume that's the foreign source intellectual property revenue provision. Now, two questions. How well known is that amongst foreign companies currently? And have you seen any companies that have foreign companies have been able to set up here and benefit from that yet, or is it too early? I mean, I've seen companies, U.S. companies, going in the other direction. Mm-hmm. I'm wondering if you're seeing foreign companies who are saying, boy, we really need to be doing our R&D and developing our intellectual property in the United States and generating revenue overseas because we get a real good tax break in the United States. Sorry, can't take it to zero, but it's worth a try.
So first of all, thank you for the question. And it is the foreign derived intangible income. So that's the provision. And since it's still new, it's the tax reform is back in 2017. It's still too early to see how the foreign companies are changing the way they do business here, or moving some of the operations more here to take advantage of that tax provision. And the 13% tax rate is only on certain income of exporting goods or services, including IP. I've seen a lot of US company taking advantage of that, but haven't seen a lot of the foreign companies coming to the US because maybe they didn't realize it yet. And that's why it's important to have tax advisors to discuss the situation, maybe changing the manufacturing to a different countries or location in the US. It could be a better benefit if you can take advantage of that 13% tax rate. So it's definitely a big incentive, but it's still new. So it's more. I see more U.S. company taking advantage of that first for inbound company, but I will see that it's coming.
Okay, Murat, that's why we're here today.
That's right. Thank you, Peter, for reminding everyone. That's why we are here today talking about taxes involved investing. That being said, I just want to say, please approach Kathy and myself, especially I'm not a tax expert, but please talk to Kathy about what are the questions that you have later on, even during the networking later on that we have. And I just want to say thank you for listening, and I wish you the wonderful day, the rest of the day. Thank you.